Before I deliver the sermon this evening, I just want to take a moment to welcome everyone here. Thank you for coming to Glenshaw Valley to worship God tonight. I want to thank our musicians, Sean and Mickey, who bring us wonderful music all year long. The choir, who does the same and has practiced so diligently, giving of their time and energies to come out. The bell choir for this special occasion. The Baldwin family for the luminaries. The worship team and everyone who decorated the church so beautifully, and everyone who purchased the poinsettias. And just thank you for everyone's faithfulness to God throughout the year. An elementary teacher in our class were studying Christmas customs one year from around the world. And it was an ideal opportunity to share the Christmas story. She tells her class how Mary and Joseph had gone to Bethlehem to pay their taxes, and it was time for the baby Jesus to be born, but they needed somewhere to stay that night. She told her students that when Mary and Joseph went to the inn, there were no rooms. She compared the inn to a modern-day hotel or motel, and she was leading up to tell about the stable, and she asked the class, "What do you suppose was behind the inn?" One little boy was just shaking. He wanted answers so bad. He said, "I know what was behind the inn. I know. It was a swimming pool." Well, I don't think there was a swimming pool at that motel. But in back, there was a lowly stable. Maybe a shed. We don't know exactly what it was, where cattle and sheep were kept. But we do know that it was most likely a very unsanitary place. Certainly no place for the King of Kings to be born. There was no room in the inn. In his book, Seven Stories of Christmas, the author writes about arriving in Bali on the day before Christmas. Bali's a Hindu land, and he spent the day in a village. The natives of that village welcomed him with open arms and invited him to join with their feasts and their celebrations. At one point, Leo, the author, mentions to his host how happy he is to be with them at Christmas. And the natives ask, "What is Christmas? We don't know this custom." So Leo begins to tell them the Christmas story. And the villagers are entranced by the beauty and the wonder of this story. But one point confuses them. Why did no one invite Mary and Joseph and give them a place to stay? Why didn't they open their homes to this person? Why didn't anyone make room for this pregnant mother to give birth? In their culture, room made for someone was a very important part of their custom and who they were. Leo left a few days later with them still puzzling over why no one made room for Mary. Even before he was born, Jesus was rejected by a cruel world. There's a true story about a woman named Carolyn. Carolyn was born in rural Georgia in 1946. She was 11 when her mother died, and then her father just abandoned her and left her to her own devices. She supported herself by working on the local farms and cleaning houses and babysitting for the local neighbor's children. And Carolyn recalls one Christmas that she said forever shaped her life. Little Carolyn felt so alone, and she hadn't eaten a good meal and hadn't been with anybody in a family in a very, very long time. On Christmas Day, the feeling of loneliness just overwhelmed her and got the best of her. So Carolyn decided to visit her best friend, whom she simply refers to as the preacher's daughter. The preacher's house was warmed, and it was in marked contrast to conditions of Carolyn's cold, damp cabin. She could see into the house, and there was food laid out, just platters of food, more food than she had seen in a long, long time. For a moment, Carolyn thought that she would get to celebrate a real Christmas at her family's house. But then the preacher did something that devastated Carolyn. He asked her if she would come back another day so that his family could spend Christmas alone as a family. Now, I'm a pastor, and I can understand that Georgia pastor wanting to spend time with his family. It's been 40 years since I've been with my blood relatives for any holidays. But here's what Carolyn Jones wrote many decades later. She says, I haven't been strong enough to find forgiveness for what he did. She goes on to mention others who sought to hurt her, but she says, I don't hate them the way that I hate that preacher. Because they never confessed to be loving and kind and warm and gentle and giving. Then he turned me away. But this story does have somewhat of a happy ending, but wait a few minutes and let's focus on what it means to have no room in the inn. This is no accidental part of the Christmas story. We live in a world in which people find no room all the time, no acceptance. We don't like to think about this Christmas Eve when children are ready for Santa and we want to get up and open our Christmas presents and have our meals and celebrate. But there are people all over this world who find no room at the inn. They're shut out, rejected. Maybe some of them are simply from the wrong side of the tracks. Reverend Andrew Filler, an Episcopal priest, tells a true story that could come from the Griswolds' Christmas Vacation movie. It's about a couple of strangers who appeared in his service on Christmas Eve years ago. So they were large, like football linemen, big men. They both had shaggy, dark beards and were wearing identical denim jackets with cut-off sleeves. Their big, hairy arms were decorated all over with tattoos. And there they were kneeling at the altar of this sophisticated Episcopalian church. As it came up to them to serve them the Lord's Supper, he couldn't help but thinking that these men resembled grizzly bears, except he had never smelled tequila on a grizzly bear. He served them the communion bread behind the chalice barrel came with the wine. However, the two huge men continued kneeling at the rail long after the other communicants had gone back to their seats. The other chalice bearer at the far end of the communion, thinking they'd been missed, came back and reserved them wine, and they drank it very heartily. When the service was over, Reverend Fiedler gathered up his wife and his mother, who was visiting from a home in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and they walked to the car. It had started to snow, and Fiedler's wife got in the front seat, and the mother-in-law got in the back seat by herself. And just as they were about to drive away, these two large, scary-looking men were standing there by the car. They only had their sleeveless denim jackets, and their hair was all wet from the snow. They said that they had been visiting from another town, and the friend who had driven them to the church and promised to come to pick them back up simply wasn't there, and they didn't remember how to get back. Looking at their cold, plight, and feeling in this irresistible wave of the Christian spirit, Reverend Fiedler said, well, why don't you get in? Well, I'll take you home or to your friend's house. So they got in the back seat. One got in on one side of the mother-in-law, and one got in on the other side of the mother-in-law. He says she thinks her mother-in-law held her breath for the entire ride back. When Reverend Fiedler led them out at the friend's house, these two huge men thanked him very politely, wished all three of them a Merry Christmas, and stood there for a moment under the street lights. Fiedler says for the first time he saw on the back of their jackets were letters, and the writing said, Hell's Angels, New York. He said his mother-in-law said nothing during the remaining two blocks ride back to the house. When they went inside, she said, you know, I've never been so terrified in my entire life. You know that bottle that I brought over to celebrate? Would you please open that and pour me a large drink? As I look out over this congregation, and I be honest, I can't see you tonight. I've had eye surgery, and you're just kind of a blur to me. But I don't think there's any Hell's Angels in there. Any Hell's Angels here tonight? I don't think so. I'd kind of like to see some, because they need salvation also. But I would hope that anyone like that came into our church, came into our sanctuary, whatever Sunday it might be, or especially on a Christmas Eve, that we would welcome them with open arms and with the love of Christ. See, there are many people in this world who feel that there's no room for them. Some are from the wrong side of the tracks. Some live in desperate parts of the world. There are refugees, millions of them right now in Africa and the Middle East, that are being touched by famine and war, and they're being run from their homes, and their homes are literally being destroyed. And then other countries are saying, we've got enough refugees, we can't take any more. They can relate to the story, I think, of this very first Christmas. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in the manger because there was no room for him or them at the inn. It is for such people that the Bethlehem babe was born. I said earlier that the fact that there was no room at the inn is no accidental part of the Christmas story. It is the very heart, I believe, of the Christmas story. This babe born in a stable because there was no room in the inn identifies with the least and lowest of all the people on this earth from the moment of his birth. He was left out. He was rejected. This is how he was born, and this is how he died. And those in this world who were also rejected are the very ones that he came to seek and to save, whether they be refugee children in Africa or members of a Hell's Angel motorcycle gang, or like Carolyn, that little girl from Georgia. To such belong the kingdom of heaven. By the way, I'm happy to say, to give a report on Carolyn, that she has become a success in her life, lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and has a very successful business. One consequence of that long ago rejection is that now when Christmas comes, she cooks enough food to feed 30 people. Because she, if someone comes to her house, she wants to make sure that she can invite them in and give them something to eat. You know, I wish all shut-out people around the earth could have their lives turn out like that, with a happy ending. If you and I do our part, maybe we can help some people have a happy ending. No room in the inn. The people of Bali were surprised that anyone would turn Mary and Joseph away under such conditions, a pregnant woman. How about you? How about me? Would we have turned them away? Have we turned people away in our lives already? We need to make room in our hearts for all those who are troubled, all those who are lonely, all those who are forgotten, all those who feel desperation in their lives. Because when we make room for them, we also make room for Jesus Christ. Maybe there's someone here this evening who is feeling that rejection. You feel abandoned. You feel alone. Some people carry those feelings around with them all their lives. But I want you to know that tonight, the Bethlehem babe was born for you, to help you, to give you salvation. And there is room in God's kingdom for you. Merry Christmas. May God bless you. Amen.